Tonight, the 1982 first-round selection of the Sioux Greyhounds, the towering, rugged rear guard, Jeff Bukovum, is our guest. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Book, the Greyhound fans very excited to hear you again from your hometown in Ajax, Ontario. A bunch of years you had as a Sioux Greyhound. The Greyhounds remember. Let's take us back to that draft when you were drafted first round selection of the Sioux Greyhounds back in 1981, I believe, or 82 it was, I guess. Tell the Greyhound listeners your initial thoughts about being drafted by the Hounds and coming to the Sioux.
Well, didn't really. Back then there was no internet. It was more or less word of mouth. And that year I had a really good season, and I grew a lot from the end of the season to the draft. So my expectation was anywhere. Didn't really know. Like, I know Kirk Muller was the first pick overall, and obviously people still remember Kirk. He's coaching still. And there was a few other, like a lot of guys in the first round there that were good. Really good OHL players, some good NHL players. And I know, like, Jeff Brown went second to Sudbury. And then I think Pat LaFontaine might have been the next pick, but he didn't play in the OHL. But anyway, I was ranked pretty high. So when I dropped to, I think it was 13th to the Sioux, it was a little surprising, but not a problem. It was just, like I said, back then we didn't have all social media and internet to say, you know, what's going on, or it was just like, okay, well, and my brother played for the Peterborough Petes a few years before, so I knew the process to a certain extent, and I knew, I went to the draft, and when they got my name called, I was excited.
Well, that's awesome. Jeff, in 160 games, in 68 games in the red and white, yourself, 10 goals, 75 assists, 85 points, 406 penalty minutes. The Greyhounds remember Jeff Bukovum showing up, 6'5", tall rear guard, very aggressive out there. That first season, 82-83, the team did quite well. Yourself, 70 games played, 25 assists on that year. Some of the players... Grohl, Conway, Tockett, Hoover, Felix, Graves, Sabrin, Steve Smith were some of the players you're involved with. Talk a little bit about the first season as a Hound.
Well, as I said, I had a real growth spurt from the end of my junior tier two year to the draft and my upcoming season. And it took me a while. As Sioux fans might remember, I know I read articles, and even Terry Chris addressed him with me that they thought they, you know, some fans weren't too happy that they wasted a pick on me, because it took me a while to get my feet underneath me growing so much in the off season. So I started slow, and then I think as the season went on, I got my feet underneath me, started getting my coordination back, and by the end of the year, you know, things were working out good. And obviously, the one guy you didn't mention was we probably had the best goalie in the league with John Beesburg. And we had a young defenseman. There's Ken Sabrin, Tim Hoover, myself. Chris Felix played the year before, but I don't think he played a lot. And then the veteran back there was Steve Smith. So it was a real young defense with a great goalie. And then up front, you name the guys. We had a good up front, and we had a good combination of skill and grit. And we had a successful season going. I don't remember where we finished during the regular season, but I know we lost to Oshawa in the OHL finals, and they had three players come back from the NHL, that Joe Sorella, Tony Tanti, and Dave Anderschuk. They all came back right after Christmas, and I don't know if they lost too many games after that,
right,
once they were part of the squad. And, you know, we had a great playoff, but Oshawa had an old veteran team and guys coming back from the NHL that made it tough.
Jeff, you heard your name called after that season, the National Hockey League entry draft, 19th overall, that first-round selection of the Edmonton Oilers in the 82-83 NHL draft. Your second season with the Hounds here, again, the Greyhounds had a good year. 61 games played for yourself, 6 goals, 31 assists, 37 points, 173 penalty minutes. Talk about adjusting that second season as a Greyhound.
Well, we had an older defense group, but we lost a lot of forwards, and on, at the same time we lost John Beesburg. So we did have a pretty good season, but it wasn't. I think the team was built for the year after, and everyone knows what happened the year after. But that year, it was, you know, we made some moves to make us stronger for the next season. I think we traded for Wayne. I'm not sure we traded for Wayne Pressly that year or the next year, but we traded for Probert that year, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, we had a good squad, but we, and Graham Bonner, might have traded for him that year too. I'm just trying to remember the... the dates of the transactions, whether it was that year or the next year.
Bonner come in mid-season that year, that's right, yep.
Yeah, so he looked at our squad, and we were good, we were competitive, and I think we lost in this either the conference finals or the semifinals of the conference to, I think it was Kitchener that year. And, you know, we all, by all accounts, we had a pretty good season, but it was a build-up for the next year, and the next year was, you know, it was record-breaking, and that was the year we were, we went to the Memorial Cup, and we didn't lose a home game that following season, so it was pretty successful season, and the one we're talking about was the build-up to it.
Yeah, no question about it. That third season, the 84-85 season, the team went undefeated at home here. Just an amazing feat. Went to the round robin, went to the Memorial Cup, I should say. Lost to the Prince Albert Raiders 8-3 in the semifinal game. That was the first appearance of the Greyhounds in a Memorial Cup. The fans overjoyed with that third year. Talk a little bit about Coach Crisp. Your thoughts on Terry Crisp as a coach?
Well, he was Terry was he was a different coach for me than I ever had before. The guy I had before in Tier 2 was pretty hard, and I needed that because I came out of minor hockey and I wasn't really an aggressive player in minor hockey, because every time I'd been in the penalty box. So and when I got to Tier 2, they had to draw that out of me, and then also Terry drew that out of me even more. You know, as you go up, everyone gets bigger, stronger, and faster, and you know, you had to adapt to the next level. As you can know, then the next level is the NHL, or, you know, minors and then NHL. But Terry was very good. He was fair, but he was also blunt, and he was pretty strict. We had weigh-ins every Monday. We had, you had to be on time for everything. And sometimes he was goofy, and he tried to show that side to himself also. But he was very demanding and fair at the same time. But he also let us be who we were, and he pushed us to become a better you, I guess, is the best way of putting it.
Boak, you moved on after to the National Hockey League. Boy, what a career in the National Hockey League. You carried around 4 Stanley Cups, 3 with that unbelievable Oilers team from 85 to 92. You were a captain of that team. Got traded out to the Rangers. Won another cup with the Rangers in 94. And then, unfortunately, concussion problems ended your unbelievable NHL career. Talk a little bit about playing pro in those two places, and specifically being able to carry that cup around.
Well, being drafted to Edmonton was great, but it was also tough because they started their Stanley Cup runs. They won 5 in 7 years, and I came in after the second one, even though I was there as like on a taxi squad to see them all. But the one thing that was so great about being in Edmonton was everyone was treated. They didn't treat you as a rookie. They treat you as part of the family. They do think, go out of their way to make sure you're comfortable, make sure you learn, make sure you're included in all the different things, whether it be going out with the guys before. You know, when you got into a city, you know, and Gretz, you know, the names are legendary: Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, Kevin Lowe. The list is pretty deep. Glenn Anderson, and you know, they're all Hall of Famers, but they were all good people, and they were people that would look out for you on and off the ice, and they're very good teammates, but better people for the most part. And it was a real learning curve for myself. I learned a lot about myself, because you come out of junior, you play a year in the minors, and then your expectations are high. But you know, when you're playing with Hall of Famers and guys are setting NHL records, it wasn't as easy just to show up and play. You had to become better, you had to develop, and you had to find your niche within that group. So it was a challenge at times, but at the same time, I'm glad that was the road I took, from the standpoint of they would look out for you, and they made you a better person as well as a better hockey player.
Well, Book, we talk about you have to be honored. Your son, Brock, the Greyhound fans remember him well. Another selected in the first round by the Hounds, currently over in Scotland playing. And one thing I noticed, your daughter Tyson, boy, what an outstanding athlete she also is. CISA Female Athlete of the Year, and on the Canadian National Rugby Team. Boy, talk a little bit about the family members.
Well, we have three kids. The two oldest, one's Tyson. Like you said, she started playing rugby in high school, and she was a really good hockey and rugby player, and she went to St. FX on both the hockey and rugby scholarship, and then after the first year she dropped hockey. It was just too much with academics and everything else. So, but she was you know, very accomplished in both, but she obviously picked the right sport getting on the she just traveled, I think it was in November, she had went down to the States, and then she went over to England for a tour. So she's part of the, even though she's 30 now, she's part of the veteran group of that team and the leadership group, and she's hoping that everything moves in the right direction so she can get in the next World Cup. She's already been part of two. And then Brock, he played minor hockey locally, in where I grew up in Lindsay, which is Court, it was called Central Ontario. And the person that probably more people remember than anyone was Matt Duchesne, played there before. Brock used to get called up and play for that team. And back then he was primarily a winger. And then the last year in minor midget, he got moved back to defense and played defense there and in high school. And then he was drafted to the Sioux. So that was very exciting for him and the family. And he played a couple years there, was drafted to Tampa. Things didn't work out in the NHL. Took his scholarship, went to CIS, got his degree, and then this is his fourth year playing overseas, I think it is. And I'm very proud of the fact that he got his business degree, and he's over there with his new bride, who got married last summer, playing in Glasgow. And, you know, he's really enjoying that part of the hockey aspect, where he can travel around and see things and do things. Obviously, with COVID, it's not as accessible as it used to be, but in his first 2 years, he was in Hungary and Denmark. He traveled all over the place. So it's been a real great life journey for him. He's really enjoyed the hockey and the social part of things, but he's doing extremely well and he's really enjoying it.
Jeff, tell the Greyhound listeners currently, just briefly, I mean, time's running short on the interview here, but tell the Greyhound listeners briefly, you're currently involved a scouting career in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've been in hockey almost my whole life. I started working for the Rangers as an assistant coach in Hartford. That was right around 2012, and then I did three or four years there. I did a year in with the Rangers on the big club for coaching, and then after that I went right into scouting. So I've been fortunate to be there through a few general managers, Glenn Sather and Jeff Gordon, who's in Montreal right now, and now is Chris Drury. Enjoy the amateur scouting part of things from the standpoint of, you know, trying to still help my team get back to Stanley Cup and hopefully have another championship run.
That's awesome. Final thought here, Jeff, if you could. If you could tell somebody about coming to Sault Ste. Marie, the fans that you used to experience at the old Memorial Gardens, what would you say about the Sioux fans and the Sioux here?
Well, they're very passionate, very driven, they're behind the team. They can be critical at times, but at the same time, the passionate is what overwhelms me, and I go in there and scout every once in a while. I'm down south here mostly, but I do come to Sioux. I was up there in December. You can see the fans really enjoy the team. They love following them. They love being part of the team, and the team seems to be a great part of the fabric of the city. So, and when you go up there, you're not just a Sioux Greyhound. You're